Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Celtics and Cavaliers play game four tonight at the Cube. And at this point, Doris Burke from ESPN and ABC is going to coax me off the ledge and convince me that I shouldn't be Frady scared.
Oh, and then you hung up on her.
I did not.
No,
I tried to dial it, and, or I tried to...
She was like, you know what, Dale? I can't talk you off the ledge.
You know what? If that's what he's looking for, I'm out of here.
Talk to you later. Is that, if that's why you had me on, not happening. Celtics just lost by 30, so not happening. No, I'll tell you what.
We'll
get back to Doris Burke. I am not freaking out. We took a few callers early on that just all of a sudden, and Dale, you included, that think the series is completely flipped now after one game. What about the two games? What about our talk on Friday? We were riding high on Friday.
They hadn't gotten their butts kicked in game three
yet. They
were
up 2-0. It's the same team. It's the same roster. And it maybe most importantly, it's the same head coaches on both sides.
So at the point where I was saying Doris Burke is going to coax me off the ledge and convince me I don't have to be panicked,
she was out.
I hung up on her. And now I'm panicked again. Hello, Doris. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm well. Thank you. Very excited for tonight.
All right, explain to me why I shouldn't be nervous if I'm a Celtics fan based on what I saw happen Saturday night.
Well, I would be nervous for this reason if I were you.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, clearly an engaged team on the defensive end, the Cleveland Cavaliers, have found something that's working for them, and that's primarily Tristan Thompson's athleticism, length, switchability, the ability to attack Al Horford at the point of the Celtics attack, right? You guys know this. They run dribble handoffs as much as any NBA team in the league. They use Al in pick-and-pop circumstances. They use him as a playmaker in the open floor. In fact, that's one of their favorite things. When he can rake it off the window and get in transition and create all kinds of mismatches, that's problematic for a lot of teams. And Tristan Thompson's very up-and-down sort of scandal-plagued season with this team has now transitioned into a place where in the last couple of series he's been crucial to what they've tried to do. So they've found that. I'm curious, are there counters the Celtics can run tonight to get Al more involved? When I spoke to Brad at the half, guys, his very first point to me was Al took one shot in the first quarter. That is unacceptable, and it's on all of us. And what surprised me, Dale, was, and you guys know this and have talked about it all year, sort of, the level, I don't know how to describe it, I guess equanimity that Brad has in all circumstances. Great plays or frustration. But for the first time, and maybe it was just my vantage point, I actually saw, real frustration on his face in game three with some of the shot selection, which I thought was out of character. So I'm really fascinated. I am so fascinated to see how the Celtics respond.
Now, how tricky is it when you're interviewing coaches in between quarters? Because you can tell, like, they want to answer your question, but they also want to get back to their huddle and talk to their guys. You know, I don't know what year ESPN and ABC started doing that, but it's got to be a kind of a fine line there. Like you have a time for a question or two, but I can't imagine the coaches are always thrilled to do it.
No, he's not. And if you ever notice, I will sometimes just ask one. Like in the last circumstance, I'm only asking one because Brad is frustrated. The team has started about as poorly as you can. And as long as he gives me a decent response, sometimes I will actually say to a coach, hey, I'm going to only ask you one in the hopes that they give me a good response. You try to be incredibly respectful. These are competitive men trying to do their job. You know, ESPN does this clearly in TNT. They do all sorts of focus groups research. And clearly, and maybe not your fans and certainly not the ones I necessarily hear from, but what I'm told from my bosses is essentially this has value to some of the viewers, and therefore we will continue it until we find something better. But yeah, sure, it's nerve-wracking for me sometimes because I don't want to be a pain, but I'd like to provide the viewer with something there.
We're talking to Doris Burke of ESPN before tonight's Celtics-Cavaliers Game 4. Doris, why does home court advantage mean so much in the NBA, more than any other sport?
Yeah, you know what surprised me as I was trying to dive deeper into the Celtics' travails on the road, and I'm thinking, okay, it's because of the two young wings, Jalen and Jason, and some of the other, you know, younger players who haven't been through the playoff rigors. But the reality is, and I'm sure you guys have discussed this already, the championship team with KG and Paul and Ray, remember the Atlanta seven-game series? They were abysmal down in Atlanta. And the fact of the matter is they win that championship based on the strength of their, for the most part, of their home court, you know, playoff performance. I will say this, you know, we sat with Jaylen Brown this morning just getting some sound from tonight's game. And I know he's a serious young man anyway, but he seemed to me to be anxious to get back on the floor and sort of make amends for what he believed was a very poor individual performance. And, you know, we asked him that question. In fact, that will be my open tonight. I hope to be able to lead to some sound where he basically, Dale says, you know, I'm not exactly sure what this is, but, and he mentions two or three things, you know, that's, you know, continuing to execute all the little things that come so naturally when when you're comfortable and the crowd's behind you and you want to get down into a defensive stance and be on point with all your switching, which they were not, clearly. They were not connected defensively in Game 3. There's no question. I've become so accustomed to the fast switching. One of the things the Celtics do better than any other team, in my estimation, is on mismatches, particularly down in the post, when their guards start to get exposed, you will see that corner defender or that big who's on another section of the floor just communicate quickly and basically erase that mismatch before the offense can take advantage of that. And that's not something that happened a ton, I thought, in Game 3, like the on-point, quick switching, the communication. This is part of the growth of this team, too. You know, some of the best teams in NBA history were the best road teams and could, you know, walk in confidently and do what they needed to do. But it's a different deal, and I'm very curious. I really am. Because, you have to ask your question. If you want to not get nervous, Dale, think, you know, the Cavaliers haven't sustained good defense over the course of a six-month period. So are they going to do what they – are they going to replicate what they did, which was better? I won't say it was great. I'm not saying to you the Cleveland Cavaliers defense was great, but it was better. Can they replicate it? I'm not confident of that.
Now, the Celtics have used a bunch of different starting lineups throughout the playoffs. Do you think maybe tonight is a time to make another change or roll out the same one they've had the first three games?
Boy, that's a really interesting question, and I don't know what Brad was getting at yesterday when we were all at the arena talking to him post-game, and he sort of alluded to the fact that maybe that was in the works, and certainly we have seen his willingness to switch, i.e. putting Marcus Morris in the starting lineup. There was one substitution I was really curious about, and I didn't understand it, and I'll say this to you going back to your question about what you can and can't ask a coach at the end of a quarter. The Yabusele minutes, I was taken aback, and I literally, guys, asked my producer to open the mic during a timeout to say to Jeff and Mark, is it inappropriate for me to ask this question in this setting? And both of them said yes. You know, don't ask Brad that question. So I did not. And you know what? It was explained to me at practice yesterday that there's, you know, the minutes for the Cavaliers of the front court were extended in the front court. And so there was this two-minute stretch where they thought they needed to get Al a rest. And Yabusele, listen, you know this, like, that. I won't say they're an exceptionally deep team at this point, the Celtics, right? You think about all that they've lost personnel-wise. So there's times where he's zigging and zagging, Brad, and just he has some limitations in terms of personnel. So there are questions about the starting lineup, and there are also questions about rotations. And your question sort of triggered that Yabusele thought. So another interesting aspect tonight.
Without Kyrie Irving, the Celtics on the road this year are 7-10. With Kyrie Irving, they're 22-8. You think, and you were talking about the people who aren't available. You think about what this team would look like with just that one guy.
Correct, because what does he give you that others don't? I mean, you have some of this, like Jason Tatum can create his own, Jaylen can create his own. But it's interesting, I remember hearing the story about Kyrie Irving and when he was on the Cavaliers and, you know, basically Teron Lue is asking him to move the ball or something, and something about we get better shots, and Kyrie's response was something like, I can get my shot anytime I want, and that's the fact of the matter. Like, those two young guys are really good at it. Kyrie can do it at any time. And so against the best defenses, which are loading to the basketball, which are making all the appropriate switches, which have length and athleticism, it doesn't matter because Kyrie is that good. So, yeah, of course they miss him. There's no doubt.
I know only one person knows the answer to this right now, and maybe he doesn't even know for sure, but do you think LeBron James will be back in Cleveland next year?
I don't. I really don't. No.
You think L.A. do you have a guess?
That. Yeah. You know what? I don't. I think what will be interesting to me is what type of team personnel attracts him. You know, I've heard this talk about Philadelphia, but my immediate thought was, well, you certainly don't want to take the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands because then you negate his skills entirely. But I did hear something yesterday from somebody who I think is a little bit more plugged into Cleveland and LeBron than I am. And the thought was that perhaps LeBron might want to get off the basketball next year and not have so much, you know, responsibility in terms of being that point forward. I have zero idea. I almost hate to say it, and I have zero idea if it's true. I don't know. It is an interesting supposition to me that LeBron could be, you know, sort of crashing the boards on the defensive end from 15, 16 feet. Good luck checking him out. Get it off the window and pitch it to a guard who can make plays. So a circumstance either in Houston or Philadelphia. But I think wherever he chooses, you know, the fascinating aspect is, does he want off the ball? Does he think now it's time for him to relinquish some of that?
Now, let's say things go the Celtics way and we all get what we want and the Celtics win the next two and you know, they win in five games. Is it a fair question post-game, Doris, for you to ask LeBron about next year already, right in the aftermath of losing a series like this?
Well, we wouldn't, you know, the only place I could ask that question is at the post-game podium because we obviously, I will have the responsibility for, you know, presenting the Eastern Conference Championship trophy. Hmm. And so the only way I could ask that would be, and I'm, you know, he's going to get the question and you know he's going to not answer it.
Right. You know? Right, exactly.
Doris, in Philadelphia, they say trust the process. Is it a more accurate depiction of the Eastern Conference and the NBA to say the process is here in Boston right now?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. I heard Kevin McHale on a TNT broadcast say this, and he's not the first and he won't be the last. He said basically Danny Ainge is the best GM in sports. He didn't say the NBA. He said the best GM in professional sports. Now, I don't have a feel for football the way you guys do and hockey and all those things. But I will just say I would have incredible confidence if I was the Boston fan base and the leadership at the top. And the fact of the matter is you have assets, you have talent, and boy, I'd feel really good. It's got to be such an exciting time if you're a basketball fan. And I have many friends in New England who are such huge Celtics fans and, boy, I just, you know, I thought your championship window was next year. I truly did. Even with all the pieces in place, I thought your championship year might be a year away. And how about the experience that Brown and Tatum, the kind of responsibility that has been on their shoulders, the exposure of playing already into the third week of May. I mean, this is just so invaluable and only adds to what should be incredible expectations a year from now.
Doris, last question for me. Do you think Becky Hammon will be a head coach in the NBA next year or in seasons upcoming here?
I do not think she will be a head coach in the NBA next year or perhaps not for the next several. You know, I think that there's a process to be played out here, obviously, and she's starting that process and hopefully more women become assistants. But I do think that they're, you know, you think about somebody like Tom Thibodeau, who spent 17 years on the sideline as an assistant coach, and all of the men who spent a decade. I don't know how long that process plays out or where they believe, Becky is in that process, but I certainly don't think next year she'll be a head coach. I do appreciate the fact that Greg Popovich, and I said this on a telecast, Keith, I said, you know, when he let Becky Hammon coach that preseason game, and I did this on the air, and it's very rare for me to step away from the game, but I am a member of the staff side, right? So this stuff is important to me. And I said on the telecast that I appreciated that, one, Pop was willing to try, within the purview of his power, to push women forward. It was a preseason game he allowed her to coach. And I don't know whether he had to have a conversation with James Borrego or Ettore Messina or, you know, any of the men on his staff who are incredibly capable and have paid the dues to be a head coach in the NBA. I think he has men of such character that they probably knew what Greg's intentions were in making Becky the head coach for that preseason game. So I appreciated that because he's trying to accelerate the process. So that's a long-winded way of saying it's we've got, you know, a ways to go here. That this process has to, she's got to continue to learn and put herself in position and get more and more responsibility. That's the way it goes, right?
It is the way it goes. Doris, we love watching you work. I appreciate you taking the time to spend a few minutes with us today. Trust me, Boston will be watching tonight.
My pleasure always to visit with you, Dale.
Thanks, Doris.
You as well, Keith. Take
care. Thanks, Doris.
Take care. That is Doris Burke from ESPN, who's pretty darn good at what she does.
Yes, I would say so.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.